Verse that I want to preach on tonight is verse number 22, where the Bible reads, Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And the title of my sermon tonight is, Whose Branches Run Over the Wall. Now, this is spoken of Joseph, and if we know about the life of Joseph, we know that he went through more adversity and more problems than almost any character in the Bible. You know, everything was going wrong in his life. Now look at the next few verses here in verse 23. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. So we see here that this talks about the fact that he was hated, he was attacked. And if you know the story of Joseph, even when he was just 17 years old, he's beaten and thrown in a pit. He's sold into slavery. And then when he's in slavery, he's falsely accused. He's thrown into prison. And then he gets out of prison and, of course, becomes the second in command of the entire nation of Egypt. All along the way, it keeps saying of Joseph that the Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered everywhere he went. Even when he's in prison, he's pretty much running the prison, you know. And when he's in the palace, he's running the palace. When he's a slave in Potiphar's house, he ends up running everything. So in spite of adversity, in spite of being attacked and hated, in spite of coming up against a lot of obstacles in his life, he still succeeded through the power of God. Now, when the Bible says in verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall, I believe that what this signifies with the wall there is that a wall basically represents some kind of an obstacle or some kind of an impediment to further progress. You know, you're walking forward and you hit a wall. You know, you can't go any further, right? Wrong. You go over the wall, okay? See, Joseph was one whose branches went over the wall. He found a way to get over the wall, over the obstacles in his life. Now go to Mark chapter 2. And this sermon tonight is a sermon that will help you at your job, especially in your career. Because there are two kinds of people in this world when it comes to the workforce. There are the people who are constantly coming to the boss with problems and the people who are constantly coming to the boss with solutions. There are the people who just see the wall all the time and they keep calling him and telling him about the wall that's in front of them. And then there's other people whose branches go over the wall. They find a way to get things done and they don't just let every little thing stop them. And I know this is cliche, but where there's a will, there's a way. It's true. And people who really want to get something done, people who are really dedicated to the job, always find a way to get it done. And then other people seem like they're just looking for an excuse why they don't want to get it done. Now, I love this story in Mark 2. This is one of my favorite Bible stories because these guys knew how to get something done. These guys were like Joseph, whose branches went over the wall. They found a way to get something done. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together. And of course, the he here is Jesus. And many people are gathering together to hear Jesus. Verse 2, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Verse 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now, born means carried. So four guys are carrying another guy who's sick of the palsy. This man is diseased, and this man needs to get to Jesus because they know if they can get him to Jesus, Jesus has the power to heal this guy. Jesus has been healing all kinds of people, and his fame has gone abroad through that whole country. But they can't get anywhere near the house where Jesus is preaching because the whole house is full of people. Even all around the doorways, all around the windows. I mean, there's no way to get anywhere near this house where Jesus is preaching. So they basically threw up their hands and quit. They basically said, hey, it can't be done. No. Look what they did in verse 4. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. I mean, isn't this a cool story? Jesus is preaching. Imagine, the house is packed. No one can get near it. Okay, just imagine if you know, Jesus were here preaching, and all of a sudden, you know, ceiling tiles just started moving out of the way. What's going on? Next thing you know, a bed just starts lowering. Four guys with four ropes on the four corners just lowering this bed down. And I mean, just right in front of where Jesus is preaching. You know, just right in front of it. Like, he can't miss it. Right there. I mean, they break, and it says they broke stuff. I mean, they broke up the roof. They're ripping out tiles and everything. We're going to get this done. We're getting this guy to Jesus. We're going to get this guy healed. It's a life, you know. They lower the guy down on the bed. Look what it says in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, not even that he saw the faith of the guy that's in the bed. No, he saw the faith of the guys who are lowering him down, the guys who are getting him there. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, which is much more important than getting healed anyway. Getting your sins forgiven is much more important than getting rid of palsy. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts said, why does this man speak thus blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. John, do you have that jar of water for me? Or Isaac, can you grab that for me? Proverbs chapter number 22, look at verse 13. The Bible reads, the slothful man, and slothful is another word for lazy. The slothful man saith, there's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. This guy's looking for an excuse not to go outside. Right, yeah. This is a lazy man. So, well, there's a lion out there. You know, I could be killed. I could be slain in the streets. Look at verse 26. Chapter 26. A couple pages over. In Proverbs there, chapter 26. It says in verse 12, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? Verse 12, there's more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. So, see, slothful people and sluggardly people are real smart about one thing. They're real good at coming up with excuses and reasons why the job can't be done and why they're not going to get it done. They find all kind of reasons not to get the work done. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man who can find. Faithful meaning someone that you can rely on. Now listen, if you want to succeed at your job, you need to understand the sermon that I'm preaching right now about Joseph whose branches went over the wall. This was a guy who probably more than anybody else in the Bible succeeded at work. I mean, he's in the prison, he's running the place. He's working in Potiphar's house, he's running the place. Palace with Pharaoh, running everything. Great worker. His boss was always pleased with him. Potiphar loved him. The keeper of the prison loved him. Pharaoh loved him. This guy's great. Now, here's the thing about jobs. Here's the thing about bosses. They're usually not a philanthropist. right? They're usually not running a charitable nonprofit organization. I mean, your typical boss is trying to make money, and you are a tool to help him make money. He's not just here, oh, I opened this business because I just really wanted to provide jobs to the community. See, that's a wrong attitude for you to have as an employee, to think that the boss is somehow there to serve you. Oh, well, the company exists to provide me with a job. No, no, no. You exist to provide work for the company, okay? The servant is the one that's serving the job, not vice versa. Like they're providing jobs for you. No, no, no. You're working for them. Get the right attitude about your job. The company's goal is to make money. Your goal should be to make money for the company. The boss's goal should be your goal because he has hired you to work for him and to do his will, right? You're doing the will of him that sent you when you are going out on those jobs or service calls, you know, if you're one who works out in the field or if you work in the office. You know, you're there to do what your boss wants you to do. The company has certain goals. You're there to help them meet those goals. Now, if you want to succeed at your job, you need to be productive at your job. You need to be effective at your job. You need to be reliable at your job. You see, the Bible says here that people are looking for a faithful man. They're looking for a guy they can rely on, that they can count on, that they can hang their hat on. And there are all kinds of people out there singing their own praises and proclaiming their own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? And that was back when Proverbs is written. Today in America, the work ethic is declining, and so this is getting even more true. But that's good news for you as the worker, because it's not going to be that hard for you to really shine at your job, because the bar is low. I mean, there are so many bad workers out there that when you show up at your job and you're reliable and you're trustworthy and you're faithful and you're effective and you're efficient and you're working hard, you're really going to shine. You're going to be a superstar. It's not going to be that hard. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. The Bible teaches that we are to do our work as unto the Lord and not to men, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's talking about when you go to your job on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Be a good worker. That's a good Christian testimony to your boss, to your coworkers, and to your customers when you are a hard worker. That is giving the name of Christ a good name, whereas being a lazy, poor worker is giving Christ a bad name because you represent Jesus Christ as a Christian. You're ambassadors for Christ, the Bible says. Now, all of us desire to provide for our family, to provide for ourselves, to pay for our wife, to pay for our children. So we want to excel at our job also that we might get raises and promotions and be able to afford the cost of living here in Arizona, right? I mean, everybody wants to go out and succeed and make more money and do a good job. Now, we're not trying to be rich. That's a wicked goal, according to the Bible, to desire to be rich. But we do desire to provide for our families and to live a life not of riches or of poverty, but to be between. That's what the Bible teaches in Proverbs chapter 30. So, if you want to be like Joseph, whose branches go over the wall, you need to learn to come to your boss with solutions, not problems, and not constantly have an attitude that it can't be done. Have a can-do attitude. Now, I could stand here literally all night and just give you concrete examples of this just from my own experiences of just people who I've seen and the dumb excuses that they've come up with, and then other people that I've seen where they found a way to get it done. You know, we could just go on and on and on about that. You know, I'll just kind of throw out a few examples. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I just want to kind of give you an idea of what I'm talking about. And look, this can be applied to all areas of life, spiritual things. This could be applied to soul winning. There are people that have a defeated attitude of soul winning. All they see is a wall. Missionaries go to a foreign country and all they see is a wall. Oh, soul winning doesn't work here. People are unreceptive. Blah, blah, blah. Another guy's branches go over the wall. He finds a way to win souls. He finds a way to get it done. This could go in all areas of life, but I want to focus on your job because that's the most applicable thing to most people in this room is going out and doing your job as a plumber, an electrician, a carpenter, computer programmer. You know, what are some other jobs in the room tonight? Call them out. Pool, swimming pool man. Yeah, that's a big thing in Arizona, right? Keeping the pools clean.
Maintenance.
Doing maintenance. Car mechanic. Nurses. Installing cables. What else? That's it. All right. So people that get it done and people who are constantly finding an excuse not to get it done. And listen, kids, you listen up too, because it's the same way with chores. Mom gives you a chore and you shoot it right back at her. Oh, well, I can't do it because of X, Y, and Z or whatever. Same thing. This principle applies. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right, the Bible says. But, you know, for example, let's say, and I'm kind of drawing from my own experience because I worked in the fire alarm business, which is basically low voltage electrical work. And I did that for a long time. And one thing that we would run into sometimes when I would send, because I owned my own company for a while and I had workers that worked for me and I'd send them out to jobs and they'd call me with issues. And then even when I worked for the company that was based out of Chicago, I was still running the company. And so I was the second in command. And so I had workers under me and I was dealing with a lot of different workers that my boss would hire. And, you know, one thing that would happen sometimes is they'd go out to a job and they don't have a tall enough ladder. You know what I mean? They call me. And this is something you run into, right, in the construction industry. Hey, I don't have a tall enough ladder. I can't get this done. I don't have a tall enough ladder. And, you know, one thing that I would constantly say to them is like, you know, I'd constantly come up with ideas of how to get it done without a tall ladder. Like, for example, I would say to them, you know, okay, you're at Kohl's or whatever. There's another department store right next door. What I would often do is I would go next door and say, hey, I'm working on the fire alarm at Kohl's. They don't have a 12-foot ladder. Is it all right if I borrow your 12-foot ladder? I can give you my driver's license and whatever. And usually they'd say, sure, no problem. I'd borrow the ladder, get it done. You know, that's one example. Or let's say that's not an option. You go to the job. There's not a tall enough ladder. You call an equipment rental company and you rent a ladder. And they drive out and they drop off a ladder. And there you go. Now you got a tall ladder. You can get the job done. Okay. And, you know, these are just maybe examples that some people could relate to or some people could not relate to. Or let's just say there's a little tool that you need. And it's just a small hand tool. You can call the boss and say, hey, can't do this job. We're going to have to reschedule because I don't have a tiny screwdriver, you know, or I don't have an Allen wrench. We're going to have to reschedule this for another day. You know, or you can go to the hardware store and buy an Allen wrench. You know what I mean? Especially with a smartphone. I mean, just pull it up, Allen wrench, go to the store, get the Allen wrench, get it done, right? You know, you just got to think about solutions instead of just coming to the boss, just, I don't have an Allen wrench. What do I do? Go buy one. You know what I mean? Or, I don't have a ladder. What do I do? Borrow one. Rent one. Steal one. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, just kidding. You know, get one. Get, you know, figure out a way to get it done. Now, here's what you do when you have a problem at your job. And sometimes, I mean, it's the dumbest little things. Sometimes it's literally something that costs 75 cents. A dollar. It's a 9-volt battery. Turn the truck around. We don't have a 9-volt. You know, drive back an hour or whatever. Just go buy the stupid 9-volt battery and get it done. You know, you got to think about, hey, let's get this done. Let's figure out a way to get it done. And, you know, sometimes it's just the dumbest little $1.75, $2.50 part or something. Just buy it. Just go get, just find, just borrow it. I mean, sometimes I'd be on the job and just bum stuff off some other trade or some other tech. Hey, can I get some of these wire nuts? Here's a can of soda or whatever. Who cares? But there's a mentality that gets it done and a mentality that just makes excuses. Now, if you have a problem and it's a real easy fix and it's a real quick fix and you're literally across the street from a hardware store and the part costs 50 cents or something and you can just walk over there and just buy it. And, yeah, I don't want to spend 50 cents of my own money. Well, here's the thing. First of all, a lot of jobs would reimburse you for that. Rather than you having to make another trip out there, cost them $50 instead of 50 cents. But even if they didn't reimburse you, you know what? You spending 50 cents or $1.50 is going to pay off when you get a dollar an hour raise. And for the next several years, you're making an extra dollar an hour, an extra $2 an hour, an extra $3 an hour, because you're the guy where you're faithful and they give you a job. And when they give you a job, they don't even have to worry about it. It's just, it's done. I mean, where they can hand you a job and just consider it done. It's done. He's got it. It's going to pay off a little investment of 75 cents or $3 or something, you know, is going to go do wonders when you are buying a special pair of pliers or something for $8. You know, and these are real life situations that you run into. Or you get there, hey, a hard hat's required. I don't have a hard hat. You know, they don't have a loaner hard hat. You got to go to the store and buy a hard hat. You know, you don't just call the boss. I don't have a hard hat. What do I do? Okay. So, number one, if it's a real easy, quick fix, like it's just right there. And if you're, you know, and some jobs give you more freedom than others. Your job gives you the freedom to where, yeah, you can call, you can rent a ladder, you can put it on the company card. You just get it done if you have that power and freedom, right? But let's say you have a job where it's a little more strict and you have to run things by the boss. You know, you do have to talk to the boss about problems and things you run into, right? That might be your situation. Then here's what you do when you call your boss, okay? You call your boss and you say it like this. You don't call the boss and say, hey, I don't have a hard hat. What do I do? Yeah. Hey, I don't have a pair of pliers. What do I do? I don't have a small enough screwdriver. What do I do? Instead, if you have to run things by the boss, if that's what they want you to do, then you call up and you say, hey, listen, they require a hard hat. I don't have one. I'm going to run up to Harbor Freight and pick one up. Yeah. Is that all right? You know, you come with a solution. Like, you don't just come with a problem. You come with a solution. Hey, I don't have a tall enough ladder, but there's a ladder rental place in this town. Is it all right if I throw a ladder on the company card? It's $75 for them to bring the ladder out here, for me to use it for 4 hours, and then they'll pick it up again. It's $75 out the door. Is that cool? Not just, I don't have a ladder. What do I do? Well, is there a ladder rental place? I don't know. I guess I can check. Okay. Well, how much is it going to be? I don't know. Like, figure out a solution, figure out an option, and then make the call. Call with the solution, okay? Get your branches going over that wall. Give them a call. Come up with a solution. And then if they don't like your solution, they want you to do something different, fine. But at least be the guy who's always calling with a solution, not always calling with a problem of just, it's not working. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You know, try to take some initiative and get things fixed, get things done, and have a can-do mentality. Where there's a will, there is a way. Amen. And there are people who have this attitude. They find a way to get it done. And I bet you that there are things that you really want to get done. You find a way to get them done, I'll bet. Because it's all about attitude. You know, it's the slothful man who just sees a lion in every street and a wall everywhere. It's just walls everywhere. And it's the righteous man, the hardworking man who finds a way over the wall, finds a way past difficulties. Go to Exodus chapter 4. And honestly, this is good advice for you on your job. You've got to go to work and be fervent in your work. Be zealous. Be excited about your job. Take it seriously. Do your best. Find solutions. to your own find solutions to the problems of people around you. You know, there's one level of solving your own problems. Then there's solving your coworkers' problems, getting in there and help. You know, and obviously you don't, you know, every company's different. You don't want to overstep your bounds or do anything inappropriate. Use wisdom. But you know what? Get in there and be a problem solver. Be a guy who's got solutions all the time. You're going to climb the ladder. You're going to be promoted. You're going to make more money. You're going to be able to provide. This is good advice for you. Let your branches go over the wall. Be as Joseph. Look at Exodus chapter 4. This conversation reminds me of a lot of conversations that I've had with employees over the years. Okay, God just finished explaining to him in Exodus chapter 3. God finished explaining to Moses, this is what I want you to do. He's basically giving him the service call. You know what I mean? He's giving him the assignment. He's giving him the work and duties to perform. And Moses just starts coming at him with excuses, right? Moses answered and said, but behold, they'll not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? You know, so God comes at him with the solution. What's in your hand? A rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, and you know, he shows him another miracle that he's going to be able to show so that they won't doubt him. Verse 9, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry ground. So he basically says, okay, Moses, I've got solution number one, solution number two, and if that doesn't work, here's solution number three. I mean, God's got solutions. Moses just, well, what if they don't believe me? Okay, excuses. So then after God just demolishes that excuse by giving him three different solutions, if one and two don't work, number three will. Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. More excuses. Neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. By the way, that wasn't really true because in Acts chapter 7, it says that Moses was a man mighty in words and deeds in Egypt. So he was a good speaker in Egypt. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Another excuse. And he said, oh, my Lord, send someone else on this service call, Lord. Maybe you should send somebody else. I don't think I can do it. Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And look, your boss's anger is going to be kindled if you just keep coming at him with excuses of why it can't be done. Look, oh, I can't figure it out. I don't know. Google it. Yeah. Google it. Look, you're having computer problems? Google. I mean, you know, it was a good day when I learned that. That when you can't figure something out on the computer, you just Google it, and the answer is like 99% of the time right there. It's always there. I mean, like, I can't get this hard drive to load or whatever. It's like, Google it, and it's like step-by-step instructions. You know, just learn to Google stuff. But look, I remember I'd show up at job sites in the fire alarm business. All the fire alarm systems are different. There's all these different brands, so you're constantly having to learn new panels. So I was always teaching my employees, you know what? You got to fake it till you make it. Don't show up and act like you don't know what you're doing. Evoke confidence. And my boss taught me this. The guy that I worked for in Illinois, he said, you got to evoke confidence in the customer. And he said, everything you do, do it with authority. He said, if you go to the Port-a-John, he said, you walk to that Port-a-John like a man on a mission. You walk to that Port-a-John with authority. Like you're going somewhere. And you walk out of that Port-a-John and you march onto the job site. And everywhere you go, you're a man on a mission. Not just kind of walking around and looking confused. I mean, you need to walk around and look like you know what you're doing. So I always taught my fire alarm guys, because I train people on fire alarm, and I always tell them this. If the customer, if you walk in and see a fire alarm panel that you've never seen before, and the customer starts grilling you like, hey, do you know how to work on this panel? Because sometimes, you know, are you familiar with this? Are you sure you know how to work on Simplex or Notifier or whatever? Because sometimes they had it in their head that only the Notifier guy can work on Notifier, only the Simplex guy can work on Simplex. So here's what I taught them to say. I taught them to say this. You know, I haven't worked on this particular panel, but I've worked on a whole bunch of panels, and they're all pretty much the same. They operate on the same principles, so I'm going to have no trouble working on this. I can easily work on this. Then you, with authority, you know, march into the bathroom and pull out your laptop, and you Google the manual for that sucker. You know what I mean? Right? And you open the manual, and you pull it up online. And look, I'd pull up these manuals online, and sometimes you had to pay a few bucks for a PDF or something, but guess what? It's worth a couple bucks to be the guy who always gets it done. Amen. To be the guy that can work on any panel. You know? Why? Because you just read the instructions. You know, you just go online, you find the answer, you Google it, you figure it out. So when you run into problems on the job, you call the boss. You don't be like Moses here, kindling the anger of your boss. Rather, you call the boss with ideas or solutions, okay? Hey, I'm dealing with this, you know, panel that we've never worked on before. Not just like, I'm scared, I don't know what to do. You know, just say, you know, hey, I'm going to need a little extra time because I'm pulling this thing up on my laptop. I'm pulling up the manual, right? Or we're gonna have to purchase the manual, or you know, I found the manual on eBay or whatever. You know, but at least come up with some idea, some solution, where you're at least making an effort to think about fixing things, not just calling the boss with just a problem. Now, look, sometimes you might have a problem where you really don't have an answer. I get that. The exception proves the rule. But you just don't want to be the guy who just at the drop of a hat never has the right tool, never has the right part, never has the manual, and never has an idea of how to get it and how to figure it out. And you could apply this to, you know, I'm just talking about fire alarm stuff, but you could apply this to whatever your job is. You know, now if you're in nursing, don't fake it till you make it, all right? No, I'm just kidding. That could cost lives, right? But, yeah. But, you know, you get in there, you do your best, you try. You know, plumbing or whatever, you know, electrical, whatever. You get in there and you try and you learn and you figure things out. And, you know, sometimes you go home and you study the manual at night sometimes and learn how to do stuff, you know what I mean? And get better at your job so that you can, you know, be a better provider. So that you can do your best and be a good worker. And it all and you say, well, you know, I'm not reading this stuff on my own time. Yeah, but you know what? Like, any work that you do, the Bible says in all labor there's profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. In all labor there's profit, because you'll end up making more money per hour in the long run because of the study that you did, because you're faster, because you're more reliable, because you're getting things done. And also God sees your effort. Keep in mind, there's a supernatural element here. God sees all your works, and God will bless your effort when he sees you doing your best. He'll recompense you for the work that you're doing. When he sees you have a heart that says, I want to do a good job and make the boss happy and make the company happy and be the best plumber, landscaper, maintenance man, mechanic I can possibly be. I'm going to do my best. Figure out a way to get things done. Go, if you would, to Judges chapter 4. This is another example of a get-it-done kind of person in the Bible. You know, I love that story where they tear up the roof. I mean, they found a way to get it done. They got the job done. You got to be careful, obviously, damaging property on construction sites and stuff like that. Okay, I'm not, you know, get it done! But here's another get-it-done kind of person, Jael. Okay, now Jael in the Bible, this is a woman, okay? This is a woman who defeats a mighty warrior. The mighty warrior Sisera how is he defeated by a housewife? Jael. Well, what does the Bible say? Verse 18, Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn in to me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty. She opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, is there any man here? That thou shalt say, no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent. This is one of the tent spikes. And took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground. For he was asleep and weary, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. I mean, she found the right tool. She went to the hardware store. It was real close by. She got the parts needed to finish the job. This service call was complete. And I mean, look, she defeated a guy who was much stronger and much more formidable. I mean, Sisera was a wall of a man. Her branches went over the wall. She found a way to get it done. I mean, David found a way to get it done. David didn't just look at Goliath and say, this is a wall that is insurmountable. How can I, a youth, defeat this man who's a man of war from his youth? He found a way to get it done through the power of the Lord in that case. And it was God's power, obviously, that got it done. Look at Judges chapter 5. We're in Judges 4. Flip over to Judges 5. Judges 4 is the story about Barak and Deborah and Sisera and Jael. And then in chapter 5, they're celebrating defeating this horrible enemy, Sisera. So they're singing a song about it. And these are some of the lyrics to the song. It says in verse 24, blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. Look at verse 31. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him, meaning love the Lord, be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. She got it done. She got the job done by hook or by crook. And so we need to have a get-it-done attitude, a can-do attitude. Now, obviously, we're not smiting off anybody's head here like Jael did or like David did in the case of Goliath. And you may not be installing fire alarm panels or doing any kind of work like that. But, you know, we all have work that we do in our life, and we need to find a way to get things done and come to the boss with solutions, not just coming to the boss all the time with problems. And when we approach the work of God, we need to have a can-do attitude that looks at the job. What's the job? The job is, I've got a vision for our church. Here's what I see the job as. Get the gospel to every single door in Phoenix, Arizona, in this greater area. I'm saying knock every door with the gospel in this whole area. And look, I don't think we as a church should have a small vision that says, hey, let's knock every door in a 3-mile radius. Or, hey, let's knock every door in our zip code. Or let's knock every door just in the city of Tempe. Well, guess what? There are only about 180,000 people, I think, living in Tempe. That's only about 60,000 doors because there's an average of 3 people behind every door. Each household's approximately 3 people. You know, I believe that God would have us to broaden our vision. And that's why my personal vision when I started the church and what we've always talked about as a church and what we've always put out there, and we've got the map back there and everything, that the goal of this ministry, Faith Forward Baptist Church, is to get the gospel to every single person in Maricopa County. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get every person in Maricopa County saved, because that's up to them whether they get saved or not. And broad's the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But the goal is to knock every door at least once with an opportunity for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's over 1 million doors. That's 1 million plus doors, because that's almost 4 million people. And you know what? There are a lot of people that would look at that and scoff at that and mock that and say, that's ridiculous. That can never be done. What in the world? There's 40 other independent Baptist churches in this town. Let them dare do their part. You just do your zip code. Well, guess what? Most of those churches aren't doing their part. Very few of them are. Most churches are scaling back soul winning. They're not doing a lot. I believe that we as a church should ignore the other churches in our area, in the sense that we should not rely on them to get it done. Because I don't think that they're reliable for that. I think that we, and think about this, what if every church had this mentality of just, well, I don't know what everybody else is doing, but I'm just going to get the gospel of this whole city just with our church. Well, then everybody would get the gospel 10 times. Great, so much the better. So we've knocked every door in our, you know, if you took a 3 mile radius of our church, we've knocked every door about 7 to 8 times. You know, and then if you go to South Phoenix, even 6, 7, 8 miles west of here, we've knocked every door 7, 8 times. City of Guadalupe, every door has been knocked at least 6 or 7 times. Okay, but the goal, though, is to knock doors in the entire city. I mean, we're talking from Dan to Beersheba. We're talking Surprise to Santan Valley. And you say, you're crazy. We're going to do it. Amen. God willing, you know, with the help of God. If God allows us to continue what we're doing and keep on going, I believe it can be done. Let's not see the wall. Let's find a way to get it done. Let's find a way over the obstacles. Let's find a way to surmount whatever, you know, adversaries or obstacles are in the way of getting that done. You know, not only that, but I believe that we as a church should plan to start churches all over the state of Arizona, to where the entire state of Arizona is covered with churches that were started by Faithful Word Baptist Church. Amen. Our style of church. And what do I mean by, and look, and by the way, there's nothing about our church that I came up with. I mean, I didn't come up with soul winning. I didn't even come up with coining that phrase. I didn't come up with the Romans Road, right? I didn't come up with hard preaching. I didn't come up with any of this stuff. This is all stuff that I learned from other people. So when I say our style, I just mean the way we're doing it. Not saying that we somehow invented it or pioneered it, but I just mean a hard preaching, zealous soul winning, biblically correct, fundamental, independent, King James only, fire-breathing Baptist church. Let's get one in Flagstaff. Let's get one in Yuma. Let's get one in Kingman. Let's get one everywhere. Why not? Let's get several of them in the valley here. Let's get them in Tucson. Let's get it everywhere. Why not? And then let's start churches all over America like Faithful Word Baptist. Amen. That'll reach their city and their state and get that big vision. Let's send Richard Miller to Nashville. You know, let's send Brother Baker to Jacksonville, Florida. Let's send out a whole army of preachers all over America. And then let's send people all over the world. Amen. And get a big vision. And when we go to Botswana, you know, we're not going to be looking at the walls. We're going to be sending our vine over the wall. Amen. And look, are there obstacles in Botswana? Sure. Are there obstacles in South Africa? Yeah. We're facing opposition. We're facing obstacles. But you know what? That wall is not going to stop us. We're just going to keep on going. Our vines are just going to keep on going until we find a way to get over that wall, until we find the chink in the armor. Till we find that crack in the wall where we can get through and jam our way through. There's a great work that can be done for God in Botswana, but we're going to have a can-do attitude. Not like these missionaries who just, it's really hard over here. It's really hard. I mean, I could be that way about Tempe. It's really hard in Tempe. I mean, everybody's so liberal here. You know, it's a college town.
Devil State University, ASU. Their mascot's the devil. There's a pitchfork everywhere. Their motto is fear the fork.
I mean, we could just whine about how, oh, it's so hot. Oh, it's just, how could anybody go snowboarding when it's so hot? Oh, everybody's so liberal. They're all a bunch of commies and lefties and hippies and whatever. Like, or we can get it done.
Amen.
And so this applies to all areas of life. Oh, I can't read my Bible every day. It's just too hard. Get it done. Everybody can carve out some time to read their Bible. Oh, I just can't get to church. Church is too far. Crawl on your knees to church. Walk. Crawl. Hitchhike. No, don't do that. That's dangerous. Find a way to get to church. And you know, there are people who come past sea and land to get to church. And they work hard. They find a way. I mean, there are people who drive for us. You know what? I thank God for my parents. You know what my parents did when I was growing up? They always drove me to the church that they felt was the best church. And sometimes they drove an hour each way. Sometimes they drove 45 minutes. I mean, I can't even count how many times we would drive to church for Sunday morning service. And the church had nothing going on all afternoon. But they didn't want to drive all the way home and drive all the way back. I can't even count how many times my parents drove me to church. We went to Sunday morning church. We went out to lunch. And then we just hung out until the evening service. And we just, like, we would just go look at houses. We weren't even looking. We didn't even want to buy a house. You know, we would just, my parents just kind of liked looking at new houses. So we'd go to, like, these open houses, you know, the realtors have. And it's like, Dad, are we moving? No. But we're just checking out houses, just going through the open house. We're going shopping. We're going to store, just killing time. And just like, when's the evening service, you know? Thank God for my parents doing that because they got me under the best preaching that they could. And the drive didn't matter to them. It was important to them to go to the best church that they could find. But then other people, 15 minutes is too far. 20 minutes is too far. 30 minutes is too far. I mean, there are people, I mean, look, there's a guy at Verity Baptist Church named Alessandro. Some of you guys might have met him because he's been to our church a few times as a visitor. He drove for 2 years, 2 hours each way to Verity every Sunday for 2 years. He lived in San Jose, and he drove to Sacramento for 2 years every Sunday, 4 hours in the car. You say, that's crazy. You're nuts. Yeah, but you know what? He said it's the best decision that he made. Now he lives in Sacramento 7 minutes from the church with his wife. But you know what, though? He said it was more important for me because he said I felt that I was getting backslidden in the church in San Jose, whereas at Verity, I was getting fired up. I was growing in the Lord. He said my spiritual health was more important to me. And people thought I was crazy, he said. People thought I was nuts. But you know what? I'm glad I did it. For 2 years. I mean, that's commitment. Yeah. But then other people, you know, 15 minutes is too far. 30 minutes is too far. 20 minutes is too far to get to church. And they're just making excuses and whining. And it's the gas money. And, you know, dig in the couch cushions, get some gas in the tank, and get down here. If you're a branches over the wall type of a guy, you'll get down here. You'll find a way to get down here. There, you know, a missionary in South Korea told a story. There was a guy who was listening to the sermons from our church, Faithful Word Baptist Church, and he lived in South Korea. And he was listening to the preaching from Faithful Word, and he got saved through listening to all that preaching, and he wanted to get baptized. He took, like, trains and buses. He crossed the whole country of South Korea. It took him, like, 5 or 6 hours to get there. And he showed up at Barry Hoffman's church and said, like, I'm here to get baptized. You know, I got saved. I traveled from this distant place. So, and some of you might remember I read the letter at the time with all the details about that story. But that's pretty cool, isn't it? That somebody had a can-do attitude. A get-it-done mentality. I like that. attitude. And so we need to in our spiritual lives, you know, stop making excuses in all areas of life and find a way to get the things done that we need to get done in our lives and be a branches over the wall Christian, not a, you know, come to the wall and turn around and walk away kind of a Christian. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this example of Joseph, Lord, and help us to apply this principle on the job, in our families, just in our personal lives, with Bible reading, with church attendance, with soul winning, with child rearing, with our marriage. Lord, help us to have a can-do attitude about our marriage and not just, you know, come up to a wall in our marriage where our marriage is going bad and just throw up our hands. Lord, help us to find a way to get the branches over the wall in all areas of our life, all aspects of life, to be a solution person, not a problem person. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.